Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Tyler Cowen's The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream is a nonfiction economics and social analysis book that examines why American society has become less restless, less mobile, and less willing to take risks. Rather than treating stagnation as only an economic problem, Cowen links it to culture, technology, politics, and everyday behavior. His central claim is that many Americans have come to prefer comfort, stability, and algorithmic matching over uncertainty, geographic mobility, and disruptive change. The result, he argues, is a society that may feel more manageable in the short term, but is increasingly weakened in innovation, social mixing, and civic energy. The book is both diagnostic and interpretive. It uses historical comparison and contemporary evidence to explain how the pursuit of convenience can undermine the very dynamism that once defined the American dream. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Cowen's core argument, comfort, has replaced restlessness as a national habit. The book's main idea is that Americans have shifted away from the older national pattern of movement, experimentation, and risk-taking. Cowen contrasts the historical image of the United States as a place where people move to find opportunity with a present in which many people prefer to stay put and avoid disruption. This complacency is not presented as simple laziness. It is a broader cultural adjustment toward predictability and low-friction living. Cowen suggests that this change helps explain why the country can still look prosperous while becoming less dynamic underneath. The argument is important because it reframes stagnation as a social preference rather than a purely technical or policy failure. In his view, the American dream becomes self-defeating when comfort becomes the goal instead of growth, change, and adaptation. Secondly, geographic immobility as a sign of economic and social slowing. A major theme in the book is the decline in moving between cities, states, and neighborhoods. Cowen treats geographic mobility as a useful measure of whether people still believe that change can improve their lives. When people move less often, they also encounter fewer new jobs, fewer different communities, and fewer chances to reset their assumptions. This matters economically because migration has traditionally helped labor markets adjust, spread opportunity, and connect talent with places that need it. It also matters socially because mobility forces people to reevaluate habits and social ties. Cowen uses the decline in migration to show that Americans are no longer as willing to treat movement as normal or desirable. The broader implication is that a society that stops moving physically may also stop moving intellectually and economically, even if it continues to generate small improvements in existing systems. Thirdly, matching culture and algorithms create comfort, but also insulation. Cowen pays close attention to the rise of matching systems in dating, music, entertainment, and social media. These tools are efficient because they help people find what they already like. But that efficiency also narrows exposure to difference. The book argues that this matching culture reduces friction in daily life while quietly reinforcing segregation by preference, class, and taste. People increasingly sort themselves into environments that feel customized and safe, but those environments may also become intellectually and socially closed. Cowen is not denying the convenience of these systems. Instead, he asks what is lost when comfort becomes the default design principle. The key consequence is that algorithmic convenience can weaken the accidental encounters and mixed settings that often generate creativity, challenge, and broader understanding. The book treats personalization as a double-edged force. It improves individual satisfaction while weakening the shared unpredictability that sustains a lively society. Fourthly, stagnation appears in culture, innovation, and public life, not just income data. The book does not limit stagnation to wages or GDP. Cowen broadens the discussion to include the slower pace of major physical innovation, the more incremental nature of change in many sectors, and the subdued character of public protest and civic conflict. He argues that earlier eras of American life were marked by visible disruption, from migration patterns to social unrest and large-scale reinvention. By contrast, the contemporary period is more bureaucratic, more managed, and more inclined toward tame forms of disagreement. This matters because innovation is not only about new gadgets, it also depends on cultural tolerance for experimentation, failure, and social friction. Cowen suggests that when people become too comfortable, they lower their expectations for what institutions and technologies should do. The result is a broad societal thinning of ambition, where progress continues but at a slower and safer pace than before. Lastly, a critique of complacency without a simple policy program. One of the book's distinctive features is that it diagnoses a serious cultural and economic problem more clearly than it offers a complete solution. Cowen is strongest when showing how comfort, mobility decline, and self-segregation fit together into a larger pattern. He is less focused on prescribing one decisive reform than on changing how readers interpret modern American life. This makes the book analytically rich, but also somewhat unsettling. because it implies that complacency is embedded in ordinary preferences and institutions rather than in a single broken system. The practical value of the book lies in forcing readers to notice the trade-offs hidden inside convenience, less movement, less exposure to difference, and less pressure to improve. Its contribution is therefore diagnostic and strategic, not programmatic. It pushes policymakers, students, and general readers to think about whether comfort is quietly crowding out the conditions that made American dynamism possible. In conclusion, The Complacent Class is best suited for readers interested in economics, social change, technology, and contemporary American culture. Policymakers, social scientists, business readers, and general readers who want to understand why innovation and mobility may feel weaker than in the past will find it especially useful. Its main value is not that it offers an easy remedy, but that it gives a sharp framework for interpreting slow-moving decline in a society that still appears successful on the surface. Compared with many books about inequality or stagnation, Cowan's work stands out because it connects private comfort, algorithmic personalization, social sorting, and institutional caution into one coherent diagnosis. That wider lens makes it more than a book about economics alone. It is also a book about how habits of convenience can reshape a civilization. Readers who want a rigorous, provocative account of why modern America may be less adventurous than it once was will find it more original than standard critiques of capitalism or technology, because it focuses on cultural self-satisfaction as a hidden driver of long-term weakening. If you would like to support Tyler Cowan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.